Welcome to episode 82 of the Speak On It podcast, hosted by your boy T-Lip. What up, though? Hey, I got some questions, man. Do the Detroit Lions have a legit chance of going to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl? Can the 49ers win this game without Deebo Samuel? Is it more pressure on Purdy or Goff? Who needs this win more? Is it Dan Campbell or is it Kyle Shanahan? How serious are we going to take the Detroit Lions? Just a lot of questions that need to be asked, man. It's a lot of questions that need to be asked, and I'm going to answer them. This Sunday at 6 o'clock, well, I think what they play at 6:30. Let me make sure. Yep. This Sunday at 6:30, the Detroit Lions travel to San Francisco to play the San Francisco 49ers. If we being honest, these two teams plays very similar. I don't think Ben Johnson is a understudy of the Shanahan tree, but he calls his plays and he's very sparky in his play calling just as much as Kyle Shanahan. He's very clever. He will take chances on certain plays. His offense is predicated around the run game as well, just like Kyle Shanahan. Their offense is very identical. I'm not going to lie. Like, in the backfield, you have Christian McCaffrey. But in the Lions backfield, you have Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. At the tight end spot, you have Greg Kittle, all pro. But at the other tight end spot, you have Sam Laporta, which is he's going to be an all pro probably the next 10 years. He's a Pro Bowl tight end as a rookie. At wide receiver, you got the Deebo Samuels, the Brandon Ayuks. And with the Lions, you have Amon St. Brown. You have Josh Reynolds. You have guys. So these offense at quarterback, this will be, you know, as in Cam Newton words, this will be the battle of the game managers. You have Brock Purdy, and then you have Jared Goff. Jared Goff has been in this moment before. Jared Goff has took his team to a Super Bowl before. Jared Goff is very familiar playing against the 49ers because he played for the Rams, in which the 49ers was in their division. So they played them two times a year, sometimes three times a year in the playoffs. So Jared Goff has he has familiarity with beating the 49ers, no matter if it was at home or on the road. Played them twice. He's very familiar with their game. And he's going to be ready. Defenses, I would say the 49ers defense is better. I would definitely say the 49ers defense is better. They have, you know, they got Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, Armstead, Hargrave, Ward. I always forget the other linebacker name, and 57. He's nice, but he won't be a 49er next year. He's gonna get paid. He's gonna get paid by somebody because he's that type of active leader, active guy. He's a dog for sure. So I would definitely say I give the edge to the 49ers on defense, but the Lions defense been playing well in the playoffs, man. They've been getting after the passer. Secondary has been able to create turnovers. They've been blitzing more, and they've been blitzing on time. The rookie Brian Branch, nickelback slash safety, has been active, has been making plays. Number six, the other safety, has been making plays. They got Gardner Johnson back. He comes back the last few games, turns the ball over a couple times. They've been playing well. This defense has been playing well. We're not going to act like the Lions defense has been playing well. So this will be a great battle. This will be a battle. in the Bay Area. Now, the first question I pose, does the Lions have a legit chance to win this game? I think they have a legit chance of winning this game. I think if they can establish the run, in which Aaron Jones is able to run the ball fairly well last week. If you watched the game last week, the first drive, the Packers literally had a 7-8 minute drive. They ran the ball pretty well. Aaron Jones was able to break runs. I think he broke like a 53, 54-yard run in the second half. If Jahmyr Gibbs break that same run, that run is going for 80 yards, a touchdown. Ain't nobody catching Jahmyr Gibbs. So him in open space, it can get nasty. We've seen that last week when it was him and Dante Whitner, and he got up on him quick and then broke to the left sideline, left pylon, able to score the ball. Jahmyr Gibbs is the ultimate weapon. Jahmyr Gibbs is the ultimate weapon. He need to touch the ball at least 20 times this game. If they're able to have this run game, the Lions, if they're able to run the ball, which I think they will, because I think they're going to have to. Their offensive line is one of the best offensive line in the game. They might be out. They might be down one of their offensive linemen. But Sewell there, Ragnew going to be there. And like I said, they got a top five offensive line in the league. So they're going to be able to, like, one guy is not going to just mess it completely up for them. And one thing I'm seeing from the 49ers D-line, they're not getting home like that. They haven't been getting home. They haven't been able to get hits on the quarterback. Let me make sure. Because, like I said, they haven't been getting home. They have not been getting home. Yeah, Jordan Love was not sacked last week. Jordan Love did not get sacked. Even Sam Howell only got sacked one time. Sam Howell got sacked one time versus them. So it's like this D-line in the last 3-4 weeks, they only got like one sack, basically. The last 3 weeks, they have one sack. That's a problem, because if they're able to run the ball and keep them D-ends playing against the run and not the pass, that's going to open up more for this Lions offense. Like I said, Jared Goff has been there before. He's won an NFC Championship game. He's won it already. He's went to the Super Bowl before. Brock Purdy hasn't. Brock Purdy was out in the first quarter last year in the NFC Championship game. So he has not finished a championship, NFC Championship game. He hasn't finished one. So I know he's been there before, but he has not finished one. And if you say he lost, to the Eagles last year. They lost. He didn't play the whole game, but they lost. Jared Goff has won one. Jared Goff is familiar with this intensity of a game. And I just think like the Lions, they are a hot team right now. They are a Final Four team, man. I love it, man. I love it. I try not to be a fan on this podcast like that, but I love it. I got to be me. I love it, bro, because I had to sit here and endure. I'm from Detroit, so I sat here and endured all of the fucking failure of the Detroit Lions for damn near my entire childhood, my entire teenhood, all of it. Even when I was in college, they was bad. Like, I've endured all of it. Thanksgiving after Thanksgiving after Thanksgiving. Beat down at the beat down at the beat down. 0-16 seasons. 2-14. Like, injuries to all the positions. Like, I literally watched Calvin Johnson ball out. That was the best thing I got to see. Watch a receiver go crazy every week. I was rewarded of seeing that. I would love that I seen that. Him. Got to see some great players, though. Roy Williams. I remember when Charles Rogers got drafted. Rest in peace. Charles Rogers played the few years. Reggie Bush. I was able to witness that. Dre Bly catching interceptions to the crib. I was able to see that. I appreciate that. But like I said, man, the city of Detroit had to endure a lot from the Detroit Lions, man. We had to endure a lot. So to be one of the Final Four teams right now is love. But I feel like it's time for the Lions to go to the Super Bowl. I think this 49ers team is beatable. We seen it last week. It took a game-winning drive for them to win last week against a 7 seed in their own backyard. So I just feel like the Lions are better than the Packers. The Lions are more confident than the Packers. They're older than the Packers. They're more mature than the Packers. And I just think they're going to be ready for this moment more than the Packers were. I'm not saying the Packers. I think the Packers showed up. Like, I think if the Packers and 49ers play next year in the playoffs, I'm going to take the Packers. I took the Packers this time. Like I said, they would have a chance. And they had a chance. They definitely had a chance. Who knows if Jordan Love don't throw that pick at the end and he just throw it out of bounds and, you know, the next play they catch some pass and they're able to go down there and kick a field goal and go into OT, then we'll see. But that's just hypotheticals. I don't really like to speak on hypotheticals because hypothetical can mean any fucking thing. I just like to speak on what happened. The Packers lost. He threw an interception. That's a part of the game. It's a part of the game. So, yes, I do think the Detroit Lions have a chance to win this game. I do. I think if they establish the run game, be able to, you know, score points. If they get out to a lead and change up the whole game plan for the 49ers, that's the thing with the 49ers. The 49ers do not want to get behind. They don't want to be down 14-0 in the first quarter. They don't want to be down 10-0. You feel me? They don't want to get these deficits to where they have to change up how they call plays. You know, they have to throw the ball more than they run the ball. They don't want to get into, like, you don't want to, if this is a shootout, it's bad for the 49ers. Because the 49ers are not a shootout type of team. Jared Goff can throw the ball. Jared Goff has had games where he threw for over 400 yards and 5 touchdowns. And it looked like that. Like, yeah, he's a game manager, but he has these games where he can go in and really throw the ball. You know, he has those games. And let me just check how many turnovers Jared Goff has had throughout this playoffs. Last week, Jared Goff didn't turn the ball over. In week one, I mean, the first round of the playoffs, he didn't turn over. So he has no interceptions. Jared Goff in 2 playoff games this year, he has not turned the ball over yet. If he's able to go into San Francisco, not turn the ball over, and they're able to establish the run game, the Lions will win. The Lions will win if Jared Goff is able to continue his 0 turnover streak in the playoffs this year. And they're able to establish the run game. This 49ers team is vulnerable. I'm going to say that. This 49ers team is vulnerable. And I just think it's something there. That's just me. I think it's something there. Next question I would like to present. Because obviously we might have an injury. He might be out. He might be in. They say 50-50. Can the 49ers win without Deebo Samuel? Now, yes, I think the 49ers can win without Deebo Samuel. I think there's a way that they can win this game without Deebo Samuel. I do. Now, will they win without Deebo Samuel? I don't know. I think Deebo Samuel is a Swiss Army knife. I think he is a guy that even if he does play, right? He has this shoulder injury that kept him out of the season. I mean, kept him out of like 3 or 4 games this year, mid-season. And I think he has the same shoulder injury. So he's 50-50, right? Deebo Samuel is a physical receiver. He's not a finesse receiver. He's not a wide receiver that run down the field like that. He's a wide receiver that runs slants, get reverses, get handoffs, bubble screens, under routes, digs. He's that guy that attacks the middle of the field. Everybody is really in the middle of the field. Linebackers are in the middle of the field. D linemen are in the middle of the field. Safeties are in the middle of the field. He's a guy that's a physical guy. He leads with his physicality. He's gonna get tackled. He's gonna fall on that shoulder. And I want to see how does that react, because the Lions are gonna, if he plays, the Lions are gonna tackle him hard. They're going to bring him to the ground hard. Like, he's not going to, They're not going to let him out of bounds, you know. They're not going to let him slide by and out of bounds and nothing like that. We're not having that. They're going to hit him. And he's not going to avoid getting hit either because that's his game. His game is being able to instill fear into opponents. His game is breaking tackles, being physical. So how much does that hold up if he does play? All it's probably going to take is one hit. And he's out of the game. So that's what it is. Like that's what a shoulder injury is. Like his whole game is predicated on being physical. So if he's not able to be physical, how much will he be able to help the team win? That's my thing on that. So I think they can win without Deebo Samuel, but will they win without Deebo Samuel? I don't know. I think it's going to be that much harder on Purdy. Because he's also an outlet that Purdy loves just fine, real quick. Throw it to him real quick. Drop it down to him real quick. He's the inside guy. Him and Christian McCaffrey, they are the in between 10 to 5 yards. Anything 10 to 5 yards, that's where Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey will operate at. That's where they get busy at. Get the ball in their hands quick, and now they, you know, in space with linebackers and safeties and things like that. So, yeah, I think they can win without Deebo Samuel, but will they win without Deebo Samuel? We will have to see. I think if Deebo Samuel is out, I think the chances of them winning, them boy, I be tripping sometimes. If Deebo Samuel is out, I think the chances of them winning slims. Like, cut that down. Because we've seen them without Deebo Samuel. They struggle. We've seen them in three games. The three games Deebo Samuel did not play this year, they lost all three of them. Even in the second half last week, they struggled a lot. I don't know if it was guys running wrong routes, guys couldn't get open, Purdy not having real chemistry with them other guys. And obviously, we seen yesterday that Deebo Samuel did not practice yesterday. And it's not a lot of practicing going on anyway right now. They're not running 15-period practices. They're not running. They're probably in turf shoes. Just staying mobile. Just staying active. It's the playoffs time. Nobody's, you feel me? It's more high-tempo walkthroughs right now. Sharpening your mind, getting ready, getting your body physically ready to play. But he still wasn't able to do that. So that's a sign of he may not play, and they may be preparing for without him. Only that team knows. Like, the media going to say what they're going to say. Oh, he's not going to practice. You never know, but I've been in the locker room before. He might be out already. Real talk. He might be ruled out. It might be like, hey, he's not playing. It might just be like they're trying to, you know, continue to make the Lions, you know, maybe fear him that he does play, or prepare for him as if he was playing. It's just a mind game. They don't just want to come out and rule him out. Like, oh, he's not going to play. But people in the locker room probably know, hey, bro, he done. He ain't playing this week. It's over. He not playing this week, and he might not play if they win after that. It's just that type of, who knows, man. Like I said, I've been in the locker room before, so I know how it works in the locker room. So, yeah, that's my take on the whole playing without Deebo Samuel thing. Moving on from that. Who is it more pressure on, Brock Purdy or Jared Goff? I think this is a great question to pose because there was a lot of people that said if Brock Purdy didn't get injured last year, then they would have went to the Super Bowl. There are a lot of people. There's a lot of noise behind Brock Purdy's name right now, and there are teams that there are people in the media that feel like, you know, Brock Purdy is getting his name dragged through the mud for the wrong reasons, and that he's one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, and he was an MVP candidate, and he's really great at his job. And there's just some people that, you know, arguing against that and for that. And, you know, obviously he was an MVP candidate this year. Him and Christian McCaffrey were two MVP candidates this year for the 49ers. For a lot of this year, you know, they were. But somehow, Christian McCaffrey was an all-pro running back. But Brock Purdy didn't make the first team or the second team as a all-pro quarterback. Why didn't that happen? I don't know. If he was in an MVP race, why didn't he, you know, win one of those? Why wasn't he voted in as a first-team all-pro or a second-team all-pro? I don't know. It's just something to think about. Who has more pressure on them, Jared Goff or Brock Purdy? I think Brock Purdy has more pressure on him in this game because there are doubts behind his name. There are doubts behind his game. There are people out there saying that if you didn't have all of these guys around you, you wouldn't be good. If you was just to get placed on the Atlanta Falcons right now, you wouldn't be good. If you were to, you know, if Deebo Samuel and Trent Williams misses a game, then you're not good. If Christian McCaffrey wasn't there, then you're not good. You feel me? Like, there's literally all pros around him on offense. He's surrounded by four all pros, pro bowlers on their team. Deebo Samuel, I think, if I'm not mistaken, did he make the second team all pro? No, that was Brandon Ayuk. But I think on one person's list, I think Deebo Samuel made the second team all pro. But Deebo Samuel has made All-Pro before, so he's an All-Pro guy. You know, if it's this year or the last year, Brandon Ayuk is a Pro Bowler All-Pro. This year, second team. Christian McCaffrey, first team All-Pro. Greg Kittle, first team All-Pro. You literally had, what, over four guys of 1,000 all-purpose yards. I just named all of them. Deebo, Brandon Ayuk, Kittle, and Christian McCaffrey all had over 1,000 yards this year. Four different guys on your offense had over 1,000 yards. Like, that's big time right there. They all pros. So he's surrounded by so much talent, so much help. He's surrounded by guys that can change the game. So his best job is just to deliver them guys the ball to where they can, you know, make plays with the ball in their hand. And that's what it is. That's what it's about. So that's why people question how good Brock Purdy is, because he have so much help around him. You know, he has these guys around him, and they're not winning because of Brock Purdy. Yeah, he's managing the game really well, but some people question if they are winning because of Brock Purdy. And it's just opinionated. Some people may think nobody else can do what he's doing, but I seen Jimmy G take this same team to the Super Bowl. I've seen them take the same team, the same guys, besides Christian McCaffrey. But Kittle was on the team. They went to the Super Bowl. Brandon Ayuk, Deebo, they was all on the team. But they also had Raheem Mostert. Mostert had a damn near 200-yard rushing game in the playoffs with four touchdowns that year they went to the Super Bowl. So they've always had these weapons around, you know, the offense. And that's great that you have these weapons. I think Brandon Ayuk is going to sign to another team next year. I don't think they're going to bring him back and be able to sign him next year. I think he's going to command about 100. And he's going to be one of the highest paid wide receivers in his free agents. I know Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson, they about to break the bank. Any free agent receiver, I don't think they're going to get paid like Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson. But between T. Higgins, Michael Pittman, and Brandon Ayuk, them three guys are going to get paid by some teams this year for sure. So Brock Purdy, I think there's more pressure on Brock Purdy. He's at home. They're the number one seed. I didn't think last week he played good, but he finished the game with a drive to – you know, they end up scoring a touchdown to win the game. This is going to be his first NFC championship where he probably will play the entire game. We're going to see, because last year he wasn't able to play the entire game. So we don't know what he looks like in the second quarter of a NFC championship, because he didn't make it to the second quarter last year. So it's going to be some pressure with him. And then if Deebo Samuel do not play, it's going to be tough, because the Lions are coming in and they game travel. They have physical team. They're going to run the ball. They're going to throw the ball to St. Brown, to Sam Laporta. And Sam Laporta is a matchup problem. St. Brown is another dog. He's the same type of dog that Deebo Samuel is. he's just down the field, and he's a little bit more shifty, you know. But he plays a very physical brand of football, Detroit style football. David Montgomery able to run the ball. We've seen teams be able to run the ball in the 49ers. We've seen it. The 49ers secondary is they're okay. I'm gonna say they're okay. I think Ward is nice. Shadarius Ward is nice, but that safety that they lost, Helfanga, that's a big miss, because you can't replace what he was doing. He was back there on some Palomalu shit. You can't replace that. And then the other corner that they have on the other side, he's just all right. So Lions wide receiver will be able to, you know, create separation. And if Jared Goff come out there and have one of them games, this can literally change the trajectory of how we look at Jared Goff. This game right now, on Sunday, if Jared Goff is able to go into the Bay Area, San Francisco, and win this game on the back of his shoulders, yeah, they got to have a running game, and yeah, you got to have guys catch the ball. But you know what a win looked like from a quarterback. You know what that type of win looked like. If he's able to put the team on his back and they go in there and win, like because of Jared Goff, that's going to change how we look at Jared Goff. I'm telling you right now, that is going to change. This is one of these legacy wins. This is a legacy game right here. This is a legacy game. And I think if Jared Goff wins this game, it's going to change the way we look at his legacy. Period. Especially if from Detroit. You were able to take Detroit Lions to the Super Bowl, where we have never been to the Super Bowl. Never. I think we like the only team in NFL history to never go to the Super Bowl. It's the Lions' time right now. So if he's able to do that, I'm telling you, bro, he'd be able to do anything he want to do in Detroit. And the NFL will view him in a different light. Period. So I think there's more pressure on Brock Purdy to win, like I said. But Jared Goff, he got some pressure on him too. You know, he got a chance to walk away from this game like, oh shit, Jared Goff just did some game changer. That's a game changer right there. He had a game changer game right there. To walk into San Francisco and beat the one seed and head to the Super Bowl, take the Lions to the Super Bowl for the first time in NFL history, in the franchise history. Win three playoff games in one playoff series. Lions have never done that. Win three playoff games with a chance to win a fourth one in the Super Bowl. They might well get ready to build a statue for Jared Goff outside of Ford Field. I'm just saying, bro. So it's more pressure on Brock Purdy than it is Jared Goff. Who needs this win more, Dan Campbell or Kyle Shanahan? That's a tough question. Because like I said, Shanahan has, in the last 10 years, Shanahan has played and he has coached in two Super Bowls. One with the Falcons, where he was the offense coordinator, and one with the 49ers, in which he lost to the Chiefs, in which he was the head coach. So he's played in two Super Bowls, coached in two Super Bowls. I think this would be love for Dan Campbell. A great players coach, a motivator of men, knows how to build culture, knows how to work through the mud. Like I said, when I got drafted to the league, I went to the Dolphins. I think the third or the fourth game of the season, our head coach, Joe Philbin, got fired. Like, my rookie year, the fourth game of the season, our head coach was fired. And Dan Campbell became the head coach for the last, you know, 12 weeks of the season. So I'm very familiar with Dan Campbell's work. I'm very familiar with it. I like the culture that he builds, The energy that he brings is very authentic. It's very real. He can't fake shit. It's, you can see it on his face. You can see it in his body. He can't fake it. He played the game as well. He just knows the grind. He knows how it is to feel. He knows the ups, the downs that comes with playing the game. And now he's just, you know, continuing to learn the ups and downs that it is to be a coach. But he's been a coach in the league for a long time. I mean, he was the assistant head coach to Sean Payton with the New Orleans for multiple years. Like, after he left the Dolphins that year, he had went straight to the Saints. And he was the assistant head coach there for like 4 or 5 years with Sean Payton. So, like I said, this is a guy that's been under some great coaches. So I think who would I like to see go to Super Bowl more between Dan Campbell and Kyle Shanahan? I would like to see Dan Campbell go to Super Bowl. Like I said, it represents Detroit. He's greatly represented Detroit. I think he changed the culture in Detroit, the culture that Matt Patricia fucking screwed up. Should have never even brought him in. He's not a good coach. Obviously, he's not a good coach. He hasn't got signed right now. Nobody signed him. The Eagles, he was with the Eagles. They let him go. It's just some guys that just, they're not in touch with the players. You feel me? You have to have some type of connection with the players. You have to. Because you just have to, man. You just have to. You just have to. So, glad he's gone from Detroit. I used to hear so many stories about, you know, him on the team, him coaching the team, and the energy in the building, and just all of the just stupid shit that don't even matter that much. Like, I just used to hear it. So, I think it'll mean more for Dan Campbell to go to Super Bowl to win this game than Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan's been there. He's been there. And he lost. So I would like to see the Lions win this game. As of right now, this is how I'm going to end this episode. As of right now, it's Thursday, January 25th, episode 82 of the Speak On It podcast. As of right now, who do I have winning this game? I have the Detroit Lions winning this game. I expect for them to come in locked in, hot. I expect for them to come in flying around. And I think their defense are going to make some plays that the Packers did not make last week. Even though the Lions are a team, the defensive team that's not, you know, that dope. They're not. I'm not even going to say that dope, but Hutchinson is a problem. Hutchinson can make some fucking plays. And the blitzes that Aaron Glenn, the defense coordinator, has been calling has been on point. Brian Branch is a problem. Gardner Johnson adds versatility and leadership and energy to that defense. He brought that back. They be making plays, flying around, laughing. You know, yeah, they're going to give up their plays and things like that. That's just going to happen. It's NFL. But I think this defense will make the plays that the Packers did not make last week. Savage dropped a pick six damn near, a potential pick six last week in the first quarter. A ball that was thrown literally right to him, hitting the chest. He dropped it. I don't think CJ drops that ball. I don't think Brian Branch drops that ball. I don't think number six, I don't know his name. It's kind of difficult. I don't think he drops that ball. So, as of right now, I have the Detroit Lions winning this game. Going into San Francisco and winning the game. That's what I have. Love it. That's all I got for y'all. This is episode 82 of the Speak On It podcast. If you tuned in, I love you. If you didn't tune in, it's all love as well. Episode 82 of the Speak On It podcast. Lip out.